have a reading from 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 1 to 18. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. When you come, bring the cloak that I left and my scrolls. Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. No one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. The Lord stood by my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory for ever and ever. Amen.
Did we mean it? And where is this go that he's talking about? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, to our next door neighbor, to our families, to our friends. Just be ready. And in the passage that John read to us, it said, there's a time, every season, be ready for that season. Be ready for that word of encouragement, that word of love. Now, today is the last sermon on this series that we've had. I won't ask you what ones we've had so far. I will tell you, though. Now, all of these things have been things that I have felt kind of happen in my life, and I need to know more about how God can help me. That's where they've come from. I don't know where we're going next week. Just pray that the Lord will tell us. That's great. So the first one, defeat despondency. And we looked at Elijah. Do you remember? Having peace of mind. How Moses could have peace of mind under all these moaners, gripers, complainers. But he did. Winning the battle, I like that, Jehoshaphat. Handling conflict, Joseph, he handled it beautifully. The life beyond mistakes, Samson. There's life for us all beyond our mistakes. Amen to that. Having less stress, Jesus himself told us about that. So today, it's very similar to the other ones. In my job, you believe it or not, it's a very lonely job. Do you believe that? It really is. But loneliness is one of the most miserable experiences that we can go through. Would you agree with that? We feel nobody loves us. Nobody cares. But you know, not only that, that feeling grows. It's not just something you feel one day and it stays there, is it? It grows and it gets worse. And when we go to bed, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, doesn't it? Loneliness. But you know, we don't have to be alone to be lonely, do we? Definitely not. It's not the number of people that surround us, but the relationships that we have with people that make us not lonely. You can be rich and lonely. I don't know if we've got any rich people here. But you can be rich and lonely, popular, beautiful, handsome, married, a whole list of things, and still be lonely. Would you agree with me? Many people get married because they feel lonely. No. So on the opposite end, some people get divorced just because they're lonely. There's probably something you can do about that. Most of us experience loneliness. Sometimes it's caused by ourselves, sometimes it's caused by situations and circumstances. But Paul found himself just now writing in 2 Timothy, and he was lonely. Paul was dying. He said his life was being poured out. He was an old man. He was in prison in a foreign country. And he's writing to his friend Timothy. And he says, Timothy, please visit me, because I'm lonely. I could do to hear your voice. I could do with you by my side. Now, there are distinct causes and there are distinct cures for loneliness. I'm going to give you just a few causes, and it's just a few. There are many, many, many more. So there are four causes and four cures, so you know when I'm nearly finished. Okay? So the first cause of loneliness, I'm looking at transition. Good word, transition. It means changes. Have any of you ever been through some changes? Absolutely. And we're carrying on to go through them. Changes, growing older, our health, relationships. These things can change and create loneliness. Now, none of us remember, but when we were in our mother's womb, it was lovely and cozy in there. It was secure. We could listen to her heartbeat, and we felt safe and sound. But then all of a sudden, we burst into the great, big, colorful world, don't we? Wow, that's something we weren't expecting. And we've got all these people around. And a lot of them come and cuddle us. And again, we feel quite secure. But then, do you know what they do? They put you down in a cot and leave you there all by yourself. Nobody's cuddling you. Nobody's nearby. You're all alone. But you get used to that. And then life goes on. And our parents take you to this big, strange building with lots of people in it, many adults, lots and lots of people the same size as us. It's called school. And we worry about that. We're going, what is this? I'm getting lonely. But you get used to that. Wow. Then we leave school. What next? We might carry on with school. We might go to a new job. We might get married. We might have a family. changes, changes, and changes. Wow. And changes don't stop. Then we have got retirement. I've got our health falling apart a wee bit. Then we lose a loved one. Changes, changes, and more changes. Now, all of these transitions, all of these changes can cause us to be very lonely. Paul knew what loneliness was. He knew what transition in his life. He knew that it was the final stages of his life he was going through. He knew that life was short. And he knew he was feeling lonely. And he says this, I am already been poured out. That's my life is finishing. It's been poured out like drink offering. And the time has come for my departure. Paul felt he was facing these last days of his life alone. And he says this, but I have fought the good fight. Amen. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. It's great. So in his loneliness, he remembers his life. His life has been of great value. Has ours? It's not finished yet. But can we say that? I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. And I'm looking forward to that crown of righteousness. That's the first point, transition. The second one is separation. Separation happens when you feel isolated. That's quite extreme, isn't it? You're apart. You're away from your friends. You're away from your family. You're away from people you know. You're away from people you love. You're separated. And you're going through things that you want to talk to people about. You want to share your innermost thoughts with. Do you ever do that? But when you're going through this, you don't have these people. You're alone. Who do I talk to now? And Paul says to Timothy, make every effort to come as soon as you can. I miss you. I want to see you soon. I'm very lonely. Do you feel like that sometimes? I do. He's in a foreign country. He's in prison. He's feeling very lonely. You know, we can at least pick up the phone or do an email. Or the thing I love most is WhatsApp. I love it when my grandkids give me a wee WhatsApp. It just is fantastic, isn't it? Even though it's chaos usually in the other end of the phone, it's so lovely to see them. But Paul couldn't do that. He couldn't hear his friend's voice. He was feeling very lonely. He was separated from his friends, and he felt lonely. The third point, I never really thought about this until I read it a few times, opposition. Now look at this. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. He was a right rogue. He was a scunner. Didn't like me at all. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposes our teaching. Opposition. So this Alexander, he really made his presence known. He was opposed to the gospel. He was opposed to Paul's preaching. He slandered Paul's name, his reputation. He was saying that the gospel was false teaching. He was against Paul. He vigorously opposed Paul, and he was against them. Have you been in a situation where somebody opposed you? They weren't on your side. They didn't like you. And you felt by yourself, as if you didn't need support. I remember many, many times. I've always been a wee bit out loud, will we say. And at school, people used to get me to be the voice piece. And I would go to the head's office or whoever's office and voice our opinion. And I'd turn around and nobody else was there. All by myself. You get left alone. But you know, when you're children and you have a fallout with somebody, you might say something like, "You're not my friend anymore. I don't even like you." But we don't say that when we're adults, do we? We just become a wee bit aloof. We avoid them. Maybe in extreme cases we divorce from them. But wow, it's so much easier if we can talk through that opposition. It's horrible to be misunderstood, isn't it? It's horrible to feel somebody really doesn't like you. When this happens, we're tempted to just hide away in our own little shell, in our own little corner, to build the walls up. And these things just make us feel even more lonely, don't they? So our last point for this is rejection. Paul feels deserted, rejected. At my first defense, no one supported me. But all deserted me. You can hear his pain, can't you? He's used to being preaching. He's used to have people behind him, people following with him. But now he's feeling really rejected. That's difficult to handle. So, there we have it. We've got causes of our loneliness. Some of them, there are many, many more. And how do we deal with our loneliness? Well, let me tell you, there's good ways and there's bad ways, aren't there? Let me tell you some of the bad ways first. We can become workaholics, can't we? Now, you're sitting there going, well, none of us work, really. But you can still fling yourself into something, a project, completely, that nothing else matters, and you become so exhausted you just pass out. That's not good for you emotionally or physically, but some of us do that. You can become materialistic and just buy lots of nice things. Surround yourself with things. Money can't defeat loneliness. If you're put away in a desert island and you could have as many things as you wanted, but you couldn't have contact with people, that would be very sad. That would still hurt. You wouldn't be happy. You can't purchase happiness. Some people look to alcohol and drugs. Some people get into fantasy novels, a bit of escapism, video games. Some people just sit still at the telly. When I say sometimes I'm sitting still at the telly, my daughter will say, "What are you watching, Dad?" I'm like, "I don't know." Just staring at it, I'm lost. I'm unwinding, which is not a bad thing. But some people in their loneliness do nothing. Do you know what they reckon the worst punishment anyone can have is? Is solitary confinement. It's painful. It's hard. Because people need people. One of my favorite artists is Barbara Streisand, but don't tell anybody that. And she sings, "People who need people are the luckiest people in the world." We're people who need people. We need that interaction. We need that acceptance. We need to be loved. And these things will take away our loneliness. But I mean, Paul tells us, this is us starting our second section now. Four things that will combat our loneliness, okay? Now, they're all found in this one verse, and that's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. And I'll read it to you. For the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. So the first one is recognize that God is here. Where is God? A wee bit louder. Where is God?
Yes.
He's definitely here. The Lord stood with me, he says. The Lord is standing with you just now, not just because you're in church. He's standing with you at 2:30 this afternoon, wherever you are, and whatever situation you're in, God is with you always. Where is God when you're lonely? At your side. He's right there. Look at these two promises. You know these promises well. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's a promise. You're not going to be left alone struggling. This other promise, I love this as well. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You've heard that before, haven't you? Do you believe it? There we go. There's no place to go where God is not. He's everywhere at every time. The word that we use is omnipresent. That's a good word, isn't it? He's everywhere at all time. Omnipresent. And we can talk to him. Prayer is a fantastic tool, especially when we're lonely. Talk to God. Let him talk to you. Let's speak to you clearly. Our next point, John, maximize God's strength. Because Paul goes on and said, the Lord stood with me, comma, and strengthened me. God's power. We can rely on God's strength to make it through whatever it is that we're going through. God is stronger than our loneliness. He's more powerful than our problems. We can approach God for his power in our lives. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Can we claim that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's say it aloud, can we, so we believe it? I can do all things. I can't hear you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Walk in strength. Walk in God's power. You can make it. Point C, utilize our time. Right? Through me, the proclamation might be fulfilled and accomplished. So Paul in his cell, dying, last days, if you want, we don't know, didn't sit around doing nothing. Even though he was prison, even though he was old, even though he was ailing. No. How did he pass his time? He wrote. He studied. He prayed. He utilized time. But some people, when they get lonely, they get paralyzed. They don't want to do anything. And it becomes like a vicious circle that just goes round and round and round and goes nowhere. But Paul's saying, no, there's things to do. We're told that he probably wrote 4 books while he was in prison. That's utilizing time, isn't it? Wow. Whatever you can do, do it. Don't say I'm not capable very much. You are. We all are. Look at what John Wesley says. You know John Wesley, don't you? He said this. Do all the good that you can. Yeah? And he carries on. By all the means that you can, and all the ways that you can, and all the places that you can, and all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can. Do things. Do whatever you can, when you can, whilst you can. Paul didn't sit around moping. He didn't say, oh, poor me. Often, you know, when people are lonely, they don't take care of themselves, they don't eat properly, they don't exercise properly, they don't look after their personal care very well. Look what Paul said. He was the opposite. He said, listen, Timothy, bring my coat and my books, and I'll capitalize the lack of interruptions. I'll use it for writing and studying time. Isn't that quite something? So he wasn't thinking, I'm just going to roll up and die. He said, no, I'll need my coat for the winter when it comes, and I need my study stuff. I'll make use of the fact that there's nobody else interrupting me here. Let's go for it. He was utilizing the time no matter the situation. And our last point. Sympathize for those in need. And the last piece of that verse was, Paul said, through me, the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Wow. So instead of focusing inwards, he was thinking of the needs of other people. His greatest desire was for people to hear the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died for them, that wanted to forgive their sins and wanted to promise them some eternal life. Paul's desire was that other people would hear. All the people, he said. Not just Jews, but the Gentiles as well. What about us? What about our neighbors, our families, our friends? Are we concerned about their spiritual state? Are we concerned of where they'll spend eternity? We shouldn't just be looking at our own needs, but the needs of other people. Loneliness can eat away at us. It can tear us to bits. But God will rescue us. God will rescue you. God will deliver you. And God will save you if you ask Him. You know, these studies that we've done over the last few weeks, all of these things will ease if we have a closer relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. None of these things would exist if we were walking closely with God, are we? Our Lord God, we thank you for your living word. We thank you for how you choose to speak to us through it, Lord God. We just ask that we can apply your word to our everyday life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.